Chapter 91. Tai. A band of ragged, half-dead riders rounded the trees on the far side of the narrow lane leading back to their homestead. They looked to be in no better shape than Tai, barely holding onto their horses. Veldon was in the lead, one hand fiddling with the flint hanging from his neck, while the other directed his mount. Orlin rode just behind the portmaster, with his large staff laying across his lap. It was glowing. Miss Reloria rode double with Faeldor. He looked about as cheerful as ever. Tai found himself involuntarily moving forward. Breen had obviously seen Freya because they were heading in the general direction of her horse. She was holding on to Gilly as he bounced in front of her. The dwarf looked like a large child and having just about as much fun. Eliab rode at the end of their small caravan. The old toothless harbour housekeeper had his large double-strung crossbow resting in the holster on the side of his saddle. The old man looked like he was about to fall off his horse, wincing at every bounce.
"What's in the flaming pits of Erin Gall happened here?"
Faeldor bellowed, as he slowly swung off his horse with Reloria's help. The wielder council stared at the battleground of Talosian savages and enormous spiders.
"And where's that crazy white-haired assassin gotten off to? Every time we turn around, she's done vanishing again."
Faeldor had barely gotten the words out of his mouth when Shiva suddenly appeared beside him. He stumbled backwards with a small yelp and then griped under his breath as he scratched his side whiskers.
"Comes and goes whenever she wants. Never can keep track of her. Shifty little witch."
"Are you all right?"
Breen called up to Freya. He wanted to help her dismount, but was finding it difficult with Tai in his arms.
"I'm fine."
She managed a firm squeeze on Breen's arm once she was back on solid ground. She quickly turned her attention to Tai.
"What happened?"
She ran her fingers across the top of his head.
"Look at his hair."
Why was everyone so fascinated with his hair? It wasn't like they hadn't seen white hair before. He wished he had a mirror so he could look for himself.
"He was bitten by one of the spiders," Breen said. "And that's what did that to his hair?"
"No, that happened before."
She looked at the wound and started to place her hand over it, but Breen held her off.
"Don't bother. The wizard said it couldn't be healed here."
"Why not?"
Breen shrugged. "Don't know. You'll have to ask him." Once again, Tai found himself floating along, this time in the direction of the others as they gathered around Nialis.
"My lord, Lady Lyessa."
Veldon bowed, and the other members of the council quickly followed when they recognized who it was they were standing in front of. The portmaster rubbed his soiled hanky across the top of his head.
Baal nodded. "I take it this is the council you were speaking of, Kellen? It appears the witch underestimated them as well." "Well, you picked a perfect day to finally show up," Faeldor said as he eyed Nialis. "Could have used your help back in town, fighting off five of those wretched Bulradur, not to mention their Black Watch dogs."
Tai wondered if anyone else caught the Faeldor's play on words.
"As much as I'd like to, I can't be in all places at all times," the man said with a harsh grunt. "I'm a wizard, not the creator. There are other people and places in need of my assistance." "And who could have possibly been in as much need as us?"
Nialis looked irritated by the forwardness of Faeldor's question.
"A band of Ashanti healers on a pilgrimage to the Forgotten City, if you must know," he said. "Unlike you, they had no means of protecting themselves. But as soon as I heard the horn, I came straight here." "How did you travel all the way from—"
Faeldor glanced at the others, and seeing the stern looks on their faces, he folded his arms with a huff.
"Oh, never mind."
Unwilling to capitulate, he mumbled the last bit under his breath.
"Well, we wouldn't have lost poor Selina if you had been a little quicker about it."
Kellen turned.
"Selina's dead."
"Aye," Reloya said. "She gave her life to save Freya."
Tears stained Freya's cheeks at the mention of Selina's sacrifice.
"How is everyone here?"
Orlin asked, as he glanced around the homestead before noticing the look on Kellen's face.
"Neela?"
Kellen shook his head.
"I'm so sorry, my friend."
The apothecary laid his hand on Kellen's shoulder. Adara took a step out of the gathering and headed for the house. Ty noticed she was wiping her eyes.
"Freya, we have injured inside who need your help."
Freya moved to catch up.
"I can't promise much. I've used more magic today than I've ever used before. I can't take a chance on using too much."
Adara nodded her understanding as they disappeared inside. Ty wondered how Aiden was doing.
"That's quite the staff you have there,"
Niala said as he eyed the piece of wood in Orlin's hand.
"How did you come by it?"
Orlin glanced at the decorative length of timber and smiled.
"It's been passed down in my family for generations."
"Hmm." The old wizard nodded, but didn't say anything more about it. There was something in Niels's eyes, though, that said he knew more.
"What's wrong with Ty?"
Reloria asked. Some of the others gathered around to take a look.
"He was bitten by one of the arachnobes."
Ty's left arm hung from his side. He couldn't move it enough to raise it back into place. Whatever was happening to him, it was spreading.
"Does it hurt?"
Gilly asked, as he tried standing on his tiptoes to look at Ty's wound. Ty shook his head no. Shiva stepped over and pointed at Ty's white hair, then back at hers, and smiled. Orlin started rummaging through the pockets of his robe.
"I might have something here. If not, I'm sure Freya can manage a little help until she gains her strength back."
"I'm afraid not,"
Niala said, as he started digging around in his own robes. Orlin stopped his searching and joined the others in staring at the old wizard.
"Like I was telling them earlier, the poison inside of Ty isn't natural. It's been altered by magic, and dark magic at that."
He pulled out a small pellet, stuffed it in Ty's mouth, and pinched his nose.
"Swallow."
Ty didn't have much of a choice. His eyes watered as he tried sucking the sticky substance down. Whatever it was, it tasted terrible. At least at first. Then it tasted like raspberry preserve. He turned his head to look at Miss Reloria. She winked at him.
"What I just gave you will not heal you."
"No natural healer can. It's only a temporary relief, meant to slow the poison spread."
His father picked up Ty's limp arm and laid it back on his chest.
"So, can he be healed?"
"Yes. We've caught it in time. A day or two longer, and even I could do nothing for him."
Ty flinched. He wasn't sure how he felt about that. If it was so deadly, why were they just standing there talking? He tried to say something to that effect, but found he couldn't get the words out. His entire body felt completely numb. He wasn't sure if it was due to the poison or the medicine Nialis had just given him.
"Times are changing, my friends," the wizard said, "and we need to be prepared."
Ty's eyes were beginning to weigh heavy.
He let them slip shut as he listened to the steady voice of the old wizard. "No longer can we hide in the shadows and hope to remain unnoticed. We can no longer remain passive in this conflict. Prophecies are being fulfilled. The dark wizard is beginning to stir, and this age is coming to an end. If we're not ready to meet it, I'm afraid the world we know will not survive.
Everyone was quiet. Ty tried to open his eyes to see what was happening, but his lids wouldn't move. Darkness was taking him. He had wanted so badly to know who he was, and now that he did, he wished he'd never been told. He felt the brush of a hand on his forehead, and a soft voice lulled him even deeper into the blackness of sleep.
"Rest now, my little failing. Your journey has only just begun."
You have been listening to The White Tower, Book One of the Eldoran Chronicles, produced by Greg Lawrence, Associate Producer Emily Durr. Text copyright 2016 by Michael Weishart. Production copyright 2017 by Podium Publishing, all rights reserved. If you enjoyed this audiobook, let us know. Take a quick moment to rate and review it on Audible, so we know we're bringing you audiobooks you'll love.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.